Good evening, everybody. This is a formal meeting of Exmouth Town Council, and we will follow the agenda which you have all received, which has been published on the Council's website. The meeting has been recorded, and an audio recording will be uploaded to the Council's website in due course. We do have members of the press and public in attendance as observers, and I would like to extend a warm welcome to you all. Only those who have registered to speak in advance with the Town Clerk will be given the opportunity to speak during public participation, and you will not be permitted, unless invited to do so, by the Chairman to speak at other times. Thank you. Apologies for absence. I have Councillor Mike Rosser, Joe Whibley, David Poor, Lynn Elson, Tony Woodward, and apologies from Devon County Councillors Jeff Trail, Richard Scott, and Christine Channon.
Can we add Councillor Eileen Beach and Councillor Joy Whips to apologies, please?
Thank you. Are there any others from the floor? No? Thank you. So, we move into public speaking, but we don't have any public speakers that I'm aware of. Item 2, Council meeting minutes, to confirm and sign as a correct record the minutes of the meeting of the Town Council held on the 13th of June 2022. Is it your wish that these be signed as a correct record? And if so, could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Councillor Maddie Chapman and Councillor Tim Dumper. Could you please all raise your hands if you agree, please? Thank you, and I'll sign those at the end. Thank you. We then move to matters arising from that meeting. There is an update that Lisa will be given on 22/041. Lisa, please.
Just to confirm that we've had responses in relation to correspondence that was sent out relating to Councillor Ross's motion around South West Water. I've had responses from the Environment Agency and from South West Water. South West Water have confirmed that they will be sending their operations director to our September meeting, and you'll be receiving an invite tomorrow for a briefing to take place next week, one evening, by Escape, which is the residents association in Littleham that have been collecting the data on sewage discharges and stormwater discharges, etc. So we thought it would be useful for you to be briefed before the September council meeting. South West Water have asked for questions in advance, so it's hoped that by providing that briefing next week, you can then go away and think of some questions that we can put to South West Water for them to answer when they attend in September. And I will send copies of the correspondence received around by email tomorrow for your reference. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Item 4, declarations of pecuniary interests and dispensation. Members to declare any interest they may have on the agenda and agree any dispensations to stay. Are there anybody that wishes to declare any interest, please, on the agenda? Councillor Tim Dumper.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I think I ought to declare that I'm a member of the Transition Umbrella Group in relation to the public toilet and eco hub motion.
No others? No? Okay, well, if you do, please declare them as we go along. Thank you. We then move to item 5, to resolve that the press and public be excluded from the meeting during consideration of item in part 2 of the agenda, as it involves the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in part 1, schedule 12A of the Local Government Act 1972. And I'm advised that there is one item, which is item 9, which will go into part B. Thank you. Item 6, to receive and consider reports of minutes of committees, working parties, other local bodies, and the town clerk, deputy town clerk, district and county councillors as appropriate. So we'll move on to the planning committee minutes of the meetings held on the 6th of June, 20th of June, 4th of July, 18th of July, 2022. Councillor Lynn Elson has given her apologies, so Councillor Tim Dumper, please.
Yes, can I ask for them to be noted, please? I don't think we've got anything particular. I think Councillor Joe Whibley is not here either as chair.
Yeah, that's why I asked you as vice chair.
Yeah, sure.
So you're proposing them. Could we have a seconder, please?
Yes, Chair.
Councillor Brian Bailey, all those in favour, could you please show? They are carried. Thank you very much. So we then move on to the Finance Committee minutes of the meeting held on the 9th of June 2022. And that is Councillor Ollie Davey, please.
Thank you, Chair. I present the minutes of the Finance Committee of the 9th of June 2022 and ask that those are noted. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Councillor Davey proposing, could I have a seconder, please? Sorry. Councillor Frank Cullis, could all those in favour please show? Thank you very much. As we've got a full agenda tonight, I'll move on to the. What I was going to suggest is that there's no items for recommendations on any of the papers that you've had regarding minutes, apart from a question that I know that Pauline Stock was going to raise under the one of the reports. But there has been a email sent round by the town clerk, which I think clarifies that point. But if there's a supplementary that you wish to ask, Councillor Stott, we'll do that.
Can I suggest that we leave it for the time being until later on in the year and see what comes forth from later on in the year? It's just that we didn't have the full information when I made that proposal, and now we have the full information. Because according to the chap that was at the Hexham Transport Partnership, the officer involved was just on about Newton Abbott in a trial. He didn't sort of say anything about that other towns had put in for it. So at the time, we thought that there might be a chance for us to trial it, but it didn't quite happen like that. So we'll leave it till later on in the year.
Thank you for that, Councillor. Councillor Frank Cullis.
Thank you, Steve. Just to answer that point from Councillor Stott quickly, I mean, the problem at the time was that we received very, very late notice of the County Council's intention to put a suggestion for bids around. And by that time, we didn't really have a time to put anything together. The other point I would make is that whereas the Newton Abbott proposal was a whole town thing, and basically what Newton Abbott didn't want to do was to spread their 20 mile an hour limit everywhere, whereas I think the idea now is concentrate on areas that could do with it. So I think when Exmouth does put in a bid, then I think the seafront or whatever would be a good idea.
Thank you for that, Councillor Dumper. And can I thank the town clerk for her in-depth response that you sent out this morning regarding that issue. Thank you. So, is it all right with you all that we take the reports, including the town clerk's and the deputy town clerk's reports, en bloc, unless you've got any questions that you want to ask to a particular report?
Councillor Stott.
I was going to say, if you're proposing that, Chairman, I'll second it for you.
Okay, thank you very much. I just thought it's going to be hot, and I think the town band are playing as well tonight, but I could be wrong on that. So we've got a proposer and seconder then, so we'll take all those on block.
Chair.
Councillor Dumper.
I just wondered whether it was possible, because there were one or two items that that it would be useful to update from the reports that we made on those. It won't take very long, but if you're able to allow me that in conjunction with the motion you've just asked for, which I agree with, is that possible? Yes, I've got a report on the climate and ecological emergency, yeah. Update, and I've got an update on Exmouth Transport Partnership as well. They are fairly brief, as I say, okay. So I don't want to take time. Is that okay?
Yeah. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Just to say, we and I include the mayor. Councillor Steve Gazzard in this, we attended the recent plastic-free fair yesterday on the seafront, which was the second one from plastic-free Exmouth, and I think it was very successful. And what I wanted to say to this meeting was that you remember that we're trying to go for the plastic-free community from Surfers Against Sewage. And it was announced at that meeting that they had got 94% of meeting all their criteria. So we will be on our way very well on that, I think. Also to say that in the last report we did, I promised to bring back something on the big plastic count that I took part in. And the recent figures that Greenpeace and the other organisation have issued is that nearly 250,000 people participated in counting the numbers of recycled and thrown away single plastic items, and they reckoned there were 65, those people reported an average of 65 over the 1 week period that this was done. So there's a long way to go, and you can imagine the people who took part in that would be people who were keen on trying to reduce single-use plastic. So what the average overall is, I don't know. There is, of course, an item coming up in Part B relating to the climate officer, and I will leave that to Part B to talk about. But it does relate to this climate change.
Thank you, Councillor Dumper, for those two.
Just to say the other thing, and Lisa drew this to my attention, that we had a discussion about the railway, the Great Western Railway CCIF, the community fund, where we were intending to resubmit our bid from 3 or 4 years ago. When we looked at the criteria and how short a time we had to do anything in, we thought it's probably not worthwhile applying at the moment. And as it overlaps with some of the levelling up bid issues, then we thought it was probably a good thing to leave it. Sorry.
I need to correct you slightly, insofar as I did submit a bid based on the last bid, but we were told that we hadn't been successful. We could be put on the reserve list, but it was the reserve list where we were asked to provide additional information, and given the capacity constraints we've got at the moment and the time frame of the levelling up fund process, I don't think we can satisfy GWR. The project would have to be completed before March 31st next year. So in view of time constraints for getting permissions for land that we don't own, that was more the context from my perspective.
I apologise for that. That's and thank okay. you for your correction.
Thank you, Lisa, and thank you, Tim. Okay, so no further questions or updates. Oh, sorry, I thought I heard somebody put that. No. So if you're happy, we'll take all those reports that I mentioned. We'll take those on block. So could you please indicate if you're in agreement by raising your hands? That's carried. Thank you for your cooperation on that. So we then move to, excuse me, I'll be down a minute. Get these here, yeah. We now move to reports from members who represent the council on outside bodies. The first one on the list is placemaking in Exmouth Town and Seafront Group, which is the old, as people will remember, is the Queen's Drive space, but it's been renamed. Did you want to say anything, Aurora?
Yes.
Councillor Aurora Bailey, please.
What is now? Can you hear me, yeah?
Yes.
Right. As you know, Jerry Mills, who's the placemaking project manager, he held lots of workshops, and I'm pleased to tell you that I attended every one of them. I didn't speak on all of them. I sat in a few of them and just listened to people talking, and the reason I went to all of them is so I could see the overview of everybody talking about what they wanted for Exmouth. It was very interesting. I went to the first public consultation, and about 40 people attended, which wasn't too bad. And then I went to the second one on the 31st of July, and 50 people attended, and a few more. And then what's going to happen now, Jerry is going to take all the notes from all of the workshops, and then hopefully, fingers crossed, that we're going to get something out of this and actually get on and do something on there. And also, I'd like to tell you that Queen's Drive space has got bike racks now. Just as you go into the dinosaur park, they put new bike racks there, which is, we're very happy with that. And there's also some more outside the Imperial Hotel at the back by the wall. They put some bike racks there as well. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Urubelli. Councillor Brewster Sarum, please.
Thank you, Chair. I was also going to say that it's very good that we've had the bike racks. Clearly, that was long awaited. And I believe outside the pavilion, we're going to give a mural, but that's another group that's organising it. And clearly, that's another thing that's happening. But I'm hopefully optimistic that the public will finish the consultations, and maybe we'll be able to take some next steps and get something shovel ready. But I'm sure we're all eager to look forward to that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Sorum. No other questions? Okay, so we note those minutes then. Thank you very much. We then move on to the Web Health and Wellbeing Board. Notes of the meeting held on the 7th of July 2022. And normally David Poor goes to that. Are you happy that we, as David's not here, that we note the report? Yeah, okay, thank you, that's noted. We then move on to district councillors' reports to be circulated. DALC, Larger Councils Committee, report from Councillor Tim Dumper.
It might be County Committee.
Yes, from County Committee. I haven't got any more to add to the report that was circulated anyway. But I'm happy to take questions, obviously.
Any questions, or do we just note the report from Councillor Dumper? Note the report?
Oh, no, Brian Bailey.
Councillor Brian Bailey. Thank you for that update, Councillor Brian Bailey. Thank you. So, we note that report. We then, now I've got it right, we move on to district councillors' reports. Can I thank Councillor Miller and Councillor Davey for send in a written report. That's really helpful. Are there any other district councillors that like to give a brief update, please?
Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Maddy Chapman.
Yes, I would like to say personally that I'm very sad at the death of our ranger, the vice chairman of East Devon District Council. I worked with her for over 10 years. I found her to be easy to work with, level, understanding of other people's problems, and I'm really, really sorry for her family. So I would like to say that. And also, as he sat behind me, I'll have a go at him.
He's gone.
Oh, no, he's gone. Oh, is he gone? Well, saying about allowances for councils, I've worked on this council as a representative for Brixingham for 14 years and I've never taken an allowance. So I think Councillor Miller needs to check his facts before he writes his reports. But then I'm always telling him that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Chapman. Councillor Brian Bailey. Thank you, Councillor Bailey. Town Clerk would like just to say something.
Just to say that when we looked into the property deeds for the Magnolia Centre some years ago, it was owned by a private pension fund, but it was managed by a Northern Ireland company. DMAC Properties was the name of the company that owned it. I'm not aware that it's changed ownership, but we did do full searches a few years ago when we were looking at the vacant post office site, etc.
Thank you. Any other district councillors that want to mention anything? No? Okay. Thank you very much.
Can I just comment?
Councillor Tim Dumper.
No, I just wanted to say I think Councillor Bruce Tassarum made a report, didn't you, Bruce?
Well, yes, it was circulated, but I don't know if did you have any thoughts on it?
Or no, I didn't, but I...
Most kind of you, Tim.
Please accept my sincere apologies, Councillor Bruce Tassarum. Yes, I've seen it on the bottom of my list. Thank you. Do apologise. So we then move on to... Item 7, which is... Councillor Pauline Stott.
Well, I'm sorry, but I haven't got a little place anywhere because the beach wheelchairs doesn't come under anything. So I just wanted to give you an update. We opened last Monday. We've had people come today from Cornwall. That's how popular we are. I'd like to thank Molly, because Molly has been, well, a brick. Because we have a few problems with there's no signal down there at the moment, which is a bit difficult when you want to try and ring up somebody when they don't turn up. But we've had quite a few go in the water, which they actually love. We only have one little problem, and that is that there's a bit of soft sand at the bottom of the ramp. And so Lisa has kindly put in for a grant, which we might know next week. I hope we do, because the sooner we know about it, the better, because some of the people do struggle to come up the beach. But I must admit the holiday papers have been brilliant and they've been actually helping people up the beach, because it's all right going down the beach because it's a bit of a slope, but coming up the beach, if you've got somebody who's a bit heavy, then it's hard work. And so that is one of the things. And I think, like Seaton's just had one, I think 10,000 sort of in a square, which doesn't go anywhere, because this girl from Cornwall went down there and she said, well, it just goes around the square, and if I'm sat on it, nobody else can get on it. And so she said it's not doing any good at all.
And pardon?
Who needs a trial? No.
Well, it's a trial.
No, I don't think it is. Well, I don't know. But in any case, they said that ours is much better because it's sand and it doesn't slope like a lot of the beaches do, and it's fairly flat. Once you've scraped it down, then it would stay flat, whereas down on the pebbles it sort of goes a bit wavery as well. But no, very successful. We're having lots of good comments. We're having donations coming in as well, which is really good. Bit hard work, but for any of you councillors who'd like a day in the sea, I can push you in. I'm quite pleased to push anybody in, but you come down and try them. I'll even get my friend who's got a drone to come and, you know, do a few photographs of you, you know. So, you know, take up the offer. But no, it is really good, and a lot of people, it's made a hell of a lot of people's dreams come true so far, and we've only been going just over a week. So it's really good. So thank you for the support that you've given me over the past. Might need some more soon.
Councillor Brian Toy.
Yes, may I ask a question of Pauline through the chair? Have we got sufficient volunteers to man that operation right through the daytime? I have heard people complaining that they couldn't get a chair when they want one. And there's always the question about recovering them if they get left all over the place. And would one have to consider perhaps the possibility of a small charge at any time?
Well, no, for a start, they have to book a wheelchair. They can't just turn up. Somebody turned up today and wanted two wheelchairs, and I said, I'm sorry, it's a booking system only. And so they have to go on the town council website, choose their wheelchair, time and date, and they get an email back to tell them that it's been confirmed. And so we know that, and they have to have read all the terms and conditions and everything else on what's on the website. As for a charge, I mean, everybody's coming back. They're not having any problem coming back, because the thing is, you have to remember, when they come with a wheelchair, they leave a wheelchair. So we got their wheelchair. And their wheelchair is worth more than our wheelchair, because most of them are electric wheelchairs. So we've got little lockers to put their wheelchairs in, and they can lock them up and take the key. So all their stuff is safe. And people have been giving donations. And the thing is, if you start charging for something, there are certain people, unfortunately, that can't afford it. And once you start charging for something, then it means that you're a certain part of the population that might like to have a wheelchair for a child or whatever, and they might not be able to afford whatever you charge. Whereas now, because it's free, it's open to everybody. You know?
Thank you. I'm glad we can keep the facility free. I'm just thinking of other seaside towns. Every other seaside town you go to, you have to at least hire a deck chair, don't you? So we're leading the way.
In fact, we've looked at other towns all over England, and they are all free. We looked at them to compare what other people did, and we're doing exactly the same as what other people do. And often they'll give you a fiver or a tenner. It doesn't matter, because anybody who can't, sometimes people can't afford it, so they just have the wheelchair. But it's open to everybody then, whereas it might only be open for a select few if you start charging people. And we'll have to just apply for grants. You know, there are grants out there, and we'll just have to try and, you know, raise some money. There are lots of different grant things that we could try and raise some money on, because we're going to have to replace them in years, you know, don't know how long they'll last for. But, you know, but, well, it won't be me soon. I'm getting too old for this job.
thank you for that, Councillor Stott. I'd just like to bring in Lisa, just wants to give an update. update, and then I've got two others that wish to speak on it. Thank you.
Just in respect of Councillor Toy's question about volunteers, so we have actually had a number of volunteers that have put their names forward to help out. What we needed to do really was run it ourselves for a week or two, because we're going to have to provide training to our volunteers, and it's important that we understand what needs to be done down at the unit and how the loan and return is managed, so that we can provide some training, albeit brief training, but our volunteers will need training. And then we've set up Dutyman roster software, which we will share with all councillors in due course, which will enable people who are happy to help out to sign up for a specific shift. Now, at the moment, we're only opening Monday to Friday, because quite a lot of the volunteers we've got have said that they'd only be available Monday to Friday, and Pauline and the staff have got commitments over the weekend that, you know, going to make it difficult for us to open up every weekend. So we've taken the decision at the moment that it'll just be Monday to Friday, because we know we can cover that either by Molly and Pauline helping out, or, you know, members of staff. Once it's bedded in, then we're hoping that we'll be able to extend the loan period to 7 days a week, and that will be with the use of the volunteer bank that we're now building.
Okay, well, thank you for that update, Lisa. Councillor Aurora Bailey, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to say on behalf of this council, congratulations to Councillor Pauline Stott for her perseverance and her patience for actually getting this done. And it's lovely to actually see something being done. Well done, Pauline. And I think she's very, very well done.
Councillor Fred Cagle.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'd just like to add to that, because my sister-in-law and my brother, actually, I think were one of the first ones to use it last Monday. And my sister-in-law has been struck down with a rare genetic disorder, so she's been unable to walk for many, many years. So going in the sea was never an option. So for her to be able to get into one of these chairs and be pushed down to the water and even just paddle around with her feet in the water was quite something. So I think she actually publicised something on social media how wonderful it was. So once again, I would like to pass on my congratulations for the efforts put forward by everybody at the Town Council, obviously led by Pauline, but everybody else that's helped as well, to provide this facility. I think it's a wonderful thing, and I think we should be proud of what we've achieved, and setting an example to far and wide and the rest of the country, because I don't think there's too many of these facilities available. So I think we're leading the way, and I think we should be proud of that. Thank you.
I'll just come back on Fred and just say, yep, your sister-in-law had a lovely time today. She actually went in for a swim. She actually swam off of the wheelchair and then swam back onto it again. And that's the first time she's had a swim for years.
Yeah, well, I think, yes, I fully endorse the comments that have been made, but on behalf of the council, thank you, Pauline. You are giving to people the opportunity of doing something that they may not have done for many, many years, that we take for granted, and like going in the sea. Or just paddling, and I think it's a wonderful idea that's come about, and thank you so very much. And I'd also like to put on record our thanks to Molly, as you said, and to Lisa, that's done a lot of the legal work as well. So it's a project that's taken a little while to come together because of COVID, but well done, and thank you so much.
Belongs to Hexham Town Council now.
So we now move on, hopefully before the band gets started, to motions. The rising threat of fire and heat waves. Motion proposed by Councillor Tim Dumper. Over to you, Tim. I'm hoping that everybody's read it, because it's quite lengthy, and I don't want, unless you want me to read it all out, I'll read it all out. Councillor Tim Dunbar.
I'll keep my comments fairly brief. I hope that many people have actually read this. It's very topical, of course, because we have fires breaking out across the country, huge heat waves, another one forecast this coming week. We really need to review all the things that we are doing, both in terms of fire prevention and in terms of helping people adapt to the new temperature norms in the summer and the likelihood of fires as to what they can do. A number of years ago, we distributed some booklets which were related to flooding mainly, and one of the proposals I've made here is to look into the idea of perhaps borrowing an already nationally produced booklet and modifying it in the same sort of way we did before, and of course putting down all the local contacts and all the rest of it. So that was one area. But I think in general terms, adaptation has gone up. When we declared a climate emergency 3 years ago, a lot of it was about let's reduce emissions, let's mitigate what's going on. But I think now people have realised that things are happening right now. There's an emergency right now, and we need to respond to it by adapting. And I mean, we can see, we saw what happened in London, in Norfolk, and now what's happened in Devon. We have wheat fields burning, we have fires burning in the Kingsbridge area underground for quite a while, as I understand it. So we really do need to think about it. One of the things which people have reacted, other councillors, to this motion, and officers actually, and one of the ideas that's come out is that most of the ideas are related to the work of the Community Resilience Working Party, and therefore some of what we do from this needs to come out perhaps from a review. Now, Councillor Tony Woodward, our Chair of Community Resilience, not here tonight, but he has reacted to the idea, and he would welcome a review to go through that working party. So I'm happy to include that in the proposals that I'm making. The other things I have suggested is asking, particularly in the light of the motion that David Poore and I proposed several years ago when the ideas of fire service reorganisation were current, which of course have been made now. But we did ask then that climate change be considered as a factor in how we reacted. And I think we ought to ask, as a town council advocating for the people of Exmouth, we should ask the fire service how they would, what their current thinking is in terms of reacting to wildfires and heat waves. And another thing is the involvement of DALC, because I think DALC is in a position where it could advocate a county-wide approach, and I think that would be useful to contact them. So that really, I mean, other than the real urgency, and I brought my Save Our World t-shirt in tonight just to model, just to emphasise the point. I think we need to do that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
I'd like to second that motion.
Councillor Brian Toy, second. Yeah. Do you want to speak before I go through the list
there,
of people?
There are certain things, when you consider it, people might say, well, all the emergency services could deal with this, but there are a certain amount of local knowledge that we could add to it that they wouldn't know. Supposing that the town got cut off by fire, we could have a list of volunteer boatmen that are prepared to transport people, things like that, which much more happen easily done by local knowledge. So I think it's quite useful to have this on the agenda.
Thank you. So you're formally seconding. We now go into the debate then. First on my list is Councillor Fred Cahill, please.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, not wishing to shoot him down in flames, if you'll excuse the pun. But I do feel this is a bit of a... it's a very sort of sledgehammer to crack a nut, because I feel that we, as a town, we set up a community resilience working party some years ago, who've obviously been involved with the flooding scheme and so on and so forth. We've got a very comprehensive Devon and Somerset Fire and Rescue Service, and the amount of land that we own that borders our town is minimal. And anything that occurs on the common is dealt with very swiftly and professionally by our own fire service. I'm not too sure where we could actually get too involved in putting out fires, because it's not something that volunteers will be asked to do. So I just find that where it can be looked at and reviewed and maybe offer assistance in a voluntary way where volunteers could be used, but not to actually over egg the pudding that, you know, Devon Somerset Fire and Rescue deal with fires. And I think we should leave it to them.
Councillor Bruce Tesori.
Thank you very much, Chair. Members, I don't think that this motion by Councillor Dumper actually goes far enough. He has recognised a very important issue, so may I make three suggestions this evening. Firstly, as Councillor Cagle touched on, that the Council seeks further advice from DCC, in particular perhaps Councillor Trail, as I believe he sits on this authority, as to how this matter could be progressed and should be. Secondly, that the Council invests in technology, such as, for example, a YouTube video, which will then give residents practical guidelines based on advice from the relevant authorities, rather than simply rely on a booklet. That is, to my way of thinking, very old school. We want to be a modern council, open to new ideas. I do accept the argument that not everyone is able to use technology, but we need to invest in technology to deliver excellent and delightful experiences for our residents, as Councillor Pauline and her beach wheelchair scheme has done. And lastly, I believe that to deal with the blocked and cluttered back lanes will require a budget. So I ask that this meeting tonight recommends a budget or sends this motion back to be considered by the Town Council Finance Committee for further action, as I believe that obviously to get the money to do this will enable us to be more successful if we wish to do it. And those are three suggestions which I put forward. And that is why, as it is written, particularly around points 2 and 3, I will not be able to support the motion. However, I do not disagree that fire is a very important topic to consider. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. I'll put my name down to speak, actually, if it's okay. I will be supporting the motion. I don't know if anybody saw the 10 o'clock news on Saturday night, BBC One. There are other TV channels available. And it was interesting to read a report from, or hear an interview from, a fire officer that has been appointed nationally to deal with wildfires. And he openly admitted that didn't think it would ever come to this country. And he says that we as a fire service now have to take this seriously, and he is a leading expert. That's why he's been appointed by the fire service to draw up plans for this. So I think that's a move forward, recognising that the situation is grave, I think. But I will be supporting the motion tonight. Thank you. Councillor Maddie Chapman.
Thank you, Chair. Tim, we were on community resilience to start with, and it took a lot of work, didn't it? I think the plan, our community resilience plan, is very good. What you've written down here, I'm a bit confused, because I think the only thing that needs reviewing is contacting our sections, community hubs, that we would use in an emergency. The resilience plan is there, so if there is a big fire and houses are burnt, then our plan automatically springs into action, and the community hubs that we have got in our plan would then support the residents. That's what we aim to do. So I think rather than look at the plan, I would look at the community hubs that we have got in the plan, because I think we spent so long making sure that it, you know, I think we're even down to, you know, a tanker of petrol overturning in Dean Way. You know, we've covered virtually everything in the plan. I think the plan is fine. I'm not sure about the booklet, because I know it's been in the mail, it's been on the press, but whatever anyone wants to do. The thing that I have problems with is actually number four. Number three, town maintenance working party sort of checking with the street scene. I'm quite happy with all that. Number four, right to the fire and rescue service, asking their preparedness for large fires, I think is, it comes across badly. As if we don't appreciate their professionalism. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? Bearing in mind that two dear little lads in Exmouth on their bikes set fire to the mayor on Friday, and the fire brigade were there within 5 minutes. So the guys are really switched on. C group, blue group, red group, whichever they were. So I would like that, if you'd be so kind, just to rewrite it, because it looks as if we're saying we don't think they're professional enough. It comes across that way to me. You know, what's the preparedness? I would prefer if we could ask one of them perhaps to pop in and tell us, you know, what is happening, etc., etc. But the fact, writing and asking, requests that arrangements to look in the light of the current likely climate, and I think I'm sure they've done that. Men and women that cut people out of a car wreckage, and the amount of training they do, I think, we should be a little bit more respectful. Maybe. Well, I hope you agree with me there, Tom. Tim, I think it's just the way that number four's written. I really don't like that. If you could do something about that, I'd be grateful. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Chapman. Councillor Brian Bailey, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I'm pleased to say that I find myself agreeing with Councillor Fred Cagle and with Mary Chapman. Probably a first that we're all agreeing. However, I understand where Tim is coming from, but I think this is, dare I say, Tim, an overreaction to the situation. We've got a very professional service that we've had detailed talks with over the closure of the fire service, reorganising the shifts, closing Budley Fire Station. They've opened up all their plans to us. They've been very fair and upright and honest, and I think they're very competent in what they do. If I was a fire service officer looking at this proposal, I would be quite upset, to be honest with you, because I think it shows a lack of respect, in my personal opinion, of what we're proposing, because they have a very good track record. They have specialist things for rescuing horses, trapped animals, people out of cars. They've been trained in the whole works, and they're very, very good. And I feel, bearing in mind the amount of work that is going to produce for the clerk and the staff, because we've always got a lot on our plate at the moment with the Dinan Way and various other sewage coming up, and this, that, and the other, I don't feel that we ought to ask our staff to do any more work, and this is a fair bit of work, most of which, as Mary correctly says, has already been done. So I'm not prepared to support it, Chair, at all. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Ollie Davey.
Thank you, Chair. I'm inclined to agree that it probably needs redrafting. I don't think that it is unnecessary. I would say, firstly, I don't think there's enough emphasis on the health and medical side. The threat of fires has been shown recently, and we are going to get cases where things overheat, and we may have more house fires, but I'm inclined to agree with others that perhaps the tone of the approach to the fire service does suggest that they're not ready for this. So I feel what we need to be thinking about is our residents and whether they are prepared for the conditions of extreme heat waves. And maybe we just need people looking out for older people who may not be so aware of what they need to do. I think it illustrates that the water bottle filling stations, and I know we may even get another one, it shows the importance of those as well, that people are going to have continued access to water. Councillor Dumper has mentioned adaptation, yes, but let's keep reducing emissions as well. We can't just adapt to a changing climate, believe me. On the issue of the cluttered back lanes, I think that is a problem anyway, and I wonder whether they're going to need some bylaws there, rather than expecting our teams to go along and clear those. I think it possibly needs bylaws saying you may not put anything in the back lane that could cause an obstruction. As been pointed out, the fire service reacted very quickly to the recent fire on the Mayor. That's one fire. Suppose there were three at once. Suppose Woodbury Common went up, the Mayor goes up, and somewhere else, because there is very, very dry grass at the moment. And there is a danger that fires, once they start, will spread very, very quickly and could start to threaten property. So I do think we need this motion, but I think it needs redrafting. On number two, I'm not sure about a booklet. I think there would be lots of public information, and there has been, on what to do in the event of a heat wave. But I think we, at the same time, need to consider our own resilience as a town and our preparedness for helping those people who might be affected by a heat wave exactly the same way as we would help them if they were affected by flooding. So I think the motion is needed, but I think it needs redrafting and some changes of emphasis. And I would like to see more on the public health side of it to be brought in as well, not just the threat of fires, because I think the medical side and the health side is far more important, actually, and a more present and immediate danger.
Thank you, Councillor Davey. Are there any other speakers, please? You've spoken at the moment, Maddie. Yeah. I'm just looking to see if there's any new speakers at the moment. Oh, sorry, Councillor Cherry Nicholas.
I was just going to say that it definitely does need rewording, Tim. I think you've got the wrong question. It should be, how are we prepared enough? Not the services, because from my 18 years as a civilian in the police force, when I had to go and attend scenes of crime, because I was one of the people that set it up, we went through immense amount of training. When there was a huge floods and that, everybody knew what they had to do. It's the civilians who were trying to interfere and do their own thing. So what you need to ask yourself is, how can I train? Have you got any help, the volunteers? Because you've got volunteer firemen as well. I think they still exist, don't they? And they do. Yeah. But what I was going to say is, they're getting paid for it. They've been training from day one that they joined whichever force they were in. They learn how to work together and to work together with the armed forces to overcome this. So I too think it's disrespectful to question them how prepared they are. The question needs to be is, what can the town do? Because that's what they did when they were talking about the flooding and drainage, didn't they? They all got together and there was training available right at the beginning. And it was training the volunteers and even opening and shutting the floodgates down there. They picked the various people and that. And it was through working with the professionals that people were trained. Not, well, what are you doing about it? They've already done it. And no doubt it was the fires and that. They've already sent people out to do extra training or to go and help in other countries. And from that, they get the experience of the wildfires. So until it's reworded, I can't support it either.
I was just going to say, I think it's fair to say, reword that, but I don't agree that we shouldn't ask a question. We can't be afraid to ask a question of our services, whatever that might be. It's not disrespectful to ask a service what are your, you know, as a council, we'd like to know what your plans are. I don't think if you're worded in the correct way, that is disrespectful. It must be worded in the correct way, but I think we've got a duty of care to our residents, and we can't say, oh, well, we assumed because we know they're trained. How do we know they're trained? I think it's perfectly right that we ask that question in the right way. And that's just my opinion.
Thank you. Any other speakers?
No? Brian Toy.
Councillor Brian Toy. Yes, I don't think asking that question is disrespectful.
We put some support, these sort of questions to utility companies, didn't they, to ask what they're doing about X, Y, and Z. And, you know, they don't take it amiss that they answer the question. So, it's there. What we want to know is, what can we do to help? That's the main thing. And if you throw out this motion, what do we do? We sit back on our hands and say, leave it to the emergency services. They may welcome some voluntary input from local knowledge. That's what I'm saying.
Thank you. Any other speakers before I ask Councillor Dumper to come back? Did you have another question, Councillor Chapman?
Yes, please. Bearing in mind what is coming up in Part B, which Tim, I know, is very excited about, I would think that was an ideal person. And therefore, I think, you know, to keep the unity and everyone here, I agree what Alex said. We can ask questions. We've always had a very good understanding with the fire brigade. We've always been invited up there. And I'm sure Steve's been up there a few times, Tim's been up there a few times, to watch them training, and they work with the youngsters, etc., etc. And I'm sure, you know, for everyone's benefit, they would send someone down and explain what's happening, what their problems are, and things like that. I'm quite happy. It's just the wording. I can understand people being worried. Yes, we're all worried about it. And I can understand something needs being done. But bearing in mind what is coming up in Part B and this motion, and that a number of us have issues with parts of the motion, I would ask Tim to consider. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Chapman. I can't see anybody else that wishes to speak on it. Oh, sorry. Who?
Yeah, I was going to say something slightly relevant. One thing I've walked over across the mare a few days, well, a couple of days ago. It's totally tinder dry. I wonder if there are things we could do to sort of inform and encourage the public, like put up notices to people not to use barbecues. I noticed there has been reports in the news for that, but I'm not sure whether that falls to the town council or somebody else. But
no, that would fall to the district council, because it's district council land. That they need to put the posters up, not the town council. Lisa would like to give an update from Deputy Town Clerk's feeling on it.
So Chetna's asked me to let councillors know that she has attended a Devon Communities Together event very recently regarding the updating of emergency plans. And there was an emphasis on that relating to heat waves and dry weather. Unfortunately, the event was postponed. I think it's been postponed till September. But she has said that she has been doing some work on the community resilience plan to make sure that we were prepared for, you know, other community emergencies. And there is quite a heavy emphasis on flooding in our community plan. And she has been looking at it in the sort of context of that advice, and was proposing to take some ideas to the next Community Resilience Working Party meeting in September.
Oh, well, that's interesting and helpful. Councillor Dunfer, would you like to sum up and maybe answer some of the questions? And
I'll
put your motion forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I mean, first to say, because it was, where Maddie and Cherry and I think Bruce have mentioned respect for emergency service workers, and it was never my intention. Perhaps I've written it a wrong way, I don't know, but it was not my intention to show any disrespect for those people, those professionals, those individuals. I know they do a good job. I realise that. The question I was asking really was more about the management of them and the priorities they were given, especially in the reorganisation. I think the feeling that David Poore and myself had when that proposal was put forward was that there was a bit too much emphasis on, one, on closures, and two, on dissipation of resources in all sorts of places around, and not enough emphasis on, Exmouth Fire Station, for instance, has their specialist flood unit and all the rest of it, so they've got some real expertise there, and we want that expertise used. I mean, I remember at the time there was a definite disagreement between some of the on-the-ground staff and some of the management proposals that were coming through. So it wasn't my intention to challenge the fact that the on-the-ground staff are professional. I know they are, and I'm sure, as Cherry has emphasised, that training is made a big thing of, and I've seen that in services I've worked in too. So that's not my intention to challenge those people. It's to give them the wherewithal really to tackle the developing climate situation in the best way possible. So, I mean, if I need to rewrite anything, then I will, but I'm quite happy as long as we have a way forward and there is an urgency to the situation, because we have discovered things in the last 3 or 4 years. There have been more fires, there have been these terrible heat waves, and in other countries, people's communities have been burnt down. In East London the other day, a small community was burnt down. So we have a new and emerging situation, and it was my intention to try to come out with some of the features that I could see immediately that were an issue. I mean, regarding Bruce, your proposal on YouTube videos, of course, if YouTube videos can be made, then, and they can be made, I think one of the things is local and relevant, and that was what we did
with the flooding booklet, we tried to make it to localise the issues that we had. And I think that's one of the key things. Regarding Ollie's point about health and well-being, no, I didn't write those words in, but it was my intention with the using the word heat wave that we did in fact think about the health type implications of it as well. Because if people get overheated, they get heat stroke and they can die. So of course there needs to be that kind of thinking as well. And I think coming back to your ideas, Maddie, on the resilience plan itself, then I think because our resilience plan majored in on flooding and that kind of weather, where I come from with the review idea is that there are, you know, in addition to the places of safety and all the rest of it, there are special factors around the heat wave and the fire that I think probably need to be looked at. And just to finish off my words, and I mean I was glad to hear from Chetner during my submission of this motion that she is talking about, as she's gone to a Devon Communities Together workshop and is developing ideas which she wants to put to community resilience. And as I said in my opening remarks, I'm absolutely in favour of using the Community Resilience Working Party, on which several of us are on around this table, to develop the proposals. I don't regard what I've written there as a final and, you know, full and final idea. I mean, if people wish to throw the motion out and say, go back and rewrite it, you know, I mean, I'll do that. But I think it would delay things for 6 weeks. Yeah, of course, sorry.
Yeah, just explain what you meant.
Yes, like Brixington Church is up in the Brixton area, and we have quite a few, and we've got Littleham and places like that, places that don't have flooding but can have other dangerous things like fires, because we've got lots of trees, etc., etc. What I'm saying is, where it says, you know, the resilience plan, basically I think it's these community centres that we would want to help us, and the services, so that the police, the ambulance and everyone else that administers the help have backup and somewhere to take people. Those are the places that we need to make sure have got the equipment. I know they've got some first aid stuff, etc., but maybe they need some paperwork on what to do if there's a fire, you know, how to, you know, until the emergency services get there. That's what our community hubs are, aren't they? And my worry is, yes, I know down round town, everyone concentrated on flooding. I didn't, because coming from Brixington, I was more interested in, you know, if there's a danger, traffic accident on Denham Way or anything like that. The only thing we've got there is Brixington Church. It's the same as Littleham and places like that. So the hubs that are out of the town, they are the ones that could be hit by an out-of-town fire. But I'm not sure that the hubs know how they should treat, perhaps, someone that's brought in with smoke inhalation, or what they should do until the emergency services arrive. That's what I was trying to get across. Thank you, Chair.
So are you still?
Can I just round up?
Yes.
Because one of the other things, and I think Fred mentioned this, was about the other emergency services and what they do and etc. But I mean, the whole emphasis of the Community Resilience Plan is that it fits in to a network of district emergency plans, county plans, national plans, you know, bigger plans, and
managers who are managing those risks. And the overall thing that I wanted, that I obviously didn't quite put over in as clear a way as I wanted, was that we here advocating for our local community and having our local resilience plan were asking the questions at what level of preparedness have the levels above us got for the fires and the heat waves. And I would like think we ought to hear that so that we can build our resilience plan around that. Fine, absolutely. I'm not objecting to any ideas. It's just bringing the bits together.
Okay, so, well, we're not into any questions now.
I'm making a suggestion, Chair, if I may.
Well, it's up to Councillor Dumper whether he wants to move his motion.
I thought it'd be up to you as a chairman.
No, I've allowed Councillor Dumper to sum up, and then at the end of the sum up, if he wants to move the motion, he can move the motion.
I mean, what I would say to Brian and anybody else, I think Cherry had one or two things that she wanted to say as well. But I don't see actually that anybody's ideas are not worthy of consideration. I think as we go forward, these various ideas can be incorporated. And I would like to move the motion. I am quite happy to say in my summing up that if the motion was written in a disrespectful way, I withdraw any implication of that, and I'm not intending to be disrespectful to anyone. I just wanted to ask management and community questions of levels above us. But I would like to move, and we've already moved and seconded the motion anyway. So, Chair, if I can do that now.
Okay.
Can you just say something? How much will be put on the back burner until this new community resilience officer starts work? I see that they've already... Wouldn't it be better to discuss it before you make the final motion? Because she might want to change it. So why not wait? When should you start work?
Not sure September, I think, but I think there is ongoing work. Chetna is actually doing some preparedness on this subject because you know it's ongoing. I think it's also probably worth pointing out that at the district council level, Dave Whelan is going to be concentrating entirely on emergency planning. And is really keen to work with town and parish councils to make sure that our community resilience plans are fit for purpose. So, you know, to that extent, I think, you know, work doesn't stop. We need to sort of crack on. And Chetna's been supporting the Community Resilience Working Party up till now, and she has been doing some preparation work on this. So I don't necessarily agree that that should hold it up. And the Community Resilience Officer... you know, the climate emergency and community resilience officer is going to have enough on her hands when she first starts. It's only a 3-day-a-week role. So, you know, the speed at which we can get her up to speed with community resilience and hand over, you know, has yet to be determined as well.
Excuse me.
What I was going to suggest was that we put this on hold until this person is appointed, and also to save Tim had to put it back 6 weeks, that we agree for her to look into it. Otherwise, he's going to redraft it. We can't have a vote on this because nobody likes the way.
With respect, Councillor Bailey, that's why we're going to put it to the vote, and then you will have your chance. You can either vote for or against. So, that's for you to decide as a councillor when you vote. So it's been moved and seconded. Well, that's my decision as chairman. Yeah. Well, would you not disrespect the chair, please. Thank you. It's been proposed and seconded. The motion as written on your order paper. All those in favour, could you please show by raising your hand?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in favour.
Those against?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Any abstentions?
So that motion's lost.
So that motion is democratically lost. So we move on to the next item. Item 8, to consider a report and associated recommendations in respect of the recent public toilets review by East Devon District Council. You will have seen the report that Chetna has done. There are three recommendations. Hopefully you've all read the paperwork. So what I intend to do is go through a recommendation at a time to take a vote on each one. So we've moved to item 1 on the recommendation, to approve in principle the acquisition of the public conveniences at Imperial Recreation Ground and to proceed with reviewing and agreeing draft heads of terms for a long-term lease with the advice from the Town Council solicitors and to develop a business plan for a potential eco-hub, cafe and general community use facility along with publicly accessible toilets. That recommendation is up for discussion now, please. Okay, so we start with Councillor Fred Cahill, please.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I've looked through the various notes and so on and so forth. And what I would like to ask is in relation to just number one, the other two will come later, I'm sure, but just in relation to number one, was this toilet marketed as per marketing of any commercial site? Because, you know, we've seen in planning applications such as Tesco's that there was a big hoo-ha over the marketing of a site, and I just wondered, has this been marketed as per marketing of any commercial site? And can I just add in, so before you answer, Lisa, thank you, how would this also affect the current leasing that's got the leisure facility, the water sports leisure at the side, because that's adjoining the building? Thank you.
So all the Category B toilets have been marketed extensively by the District Council. Some sites have had more interest than others. I am aware that the Imperial Recreation toilet site has had some interest from people who want to operate that potentially on a commercial basis. Whether that's with toilets or without toilets that would be publicly accessible, I don't know, because there's two options for parties who are interested. If they are prepared to provide a publicly accessible toilet, my understanding is that then that's reflected in the potential lease terms. It was made clear during the marketing process that if town or parish councils had any interest in any Category B toilets, that we would effectively be given first refusal. And so that's what's happening with the Imperial Recreation toilets. Because we had expressed support through the full council meeting in September last year to support Transition Exmouth's idea of an eco hub, and we had put that expression of interest in writing, the District Council basically came back and said that we would have first refusal. That's in the policy that the District Council published in respect of the public toilet review, that if town and parish councils were interested, they would be given first refusal for Category B toilets.
Okay.
So that's the situation. In terms of the existing tenant, the site that is proposed excludes the licensable area that's occupied by the existing tenant. That's not included. There is, I understand, still some time left on their lease. One of the things that we've mooted with the officer at the district council who's dealing with this is whether there would be an option for us to have perhaps first refusal on the rest of the site if it ever became vacant, because that would open up the scope for us to do more with the site potentially. But as it stands, we can't undermine or affect the existing lease that's in place for the tenant that's there.
Right, thank you. That answers that particular bit. Sorry, I forgot to ask. The bit about cafe and general community use facility, how is this going to develop in a business plan for a cafe and a general community use facility? Will the town council be responsible for the project, the building, the profit, the staff, etc., etc.? Because if you're running a cafe, you want it to at least wipe its face, if not make a profit. How's that going to work? Or are we actually giving it out to a volunteer organisation to run as a business? Or are we going to run it as a business?
So the asset transfer would be made from the district council to the town council. And the proposal is that we would work with Transition Exmouth, who had the idea of developing it into an eco hub, but it would be our building, we would own it, and we would run it. Probably much along the same lines that we run Gorfin Hall, except that it would have an emphasis on a particular type of use. Now, one of the ideas that came out of the eco hub proposals when Transition Exmouth presented in September to full council was the possibility of a cafe. That is an idea that would need exploring through the business plan to find out whether it's viable, whether there's enough space, whether it would generate some income to offset costs. It's just an idea that was put forward as part of that Eco Hub proposal. And, you know, Chetner acknowledges in the report that further work needs to be done on viability through a business plan, and ideally through the employment of somebody that's got experience of putting a business plan together of that nature, so that we can look at revenue possibilities, and council can make a decision based on a solid business plan.
Can I just say my reason for asking that question is in relation also to number three, which is the railway station toilets and the levelling up gateway proposals. And it interlinks, in my view, that if that became available and we chose to buy those toilets or take them on at the cost of what's actually being put in the document, maybe that's an idea if we do the first one and we take the opportunity to do the second one and run it as a commercial enterprise. It's just a thought. Thank you very much for your answers.
Councillor Bruce Tassaran, please.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, looking at this, I think the key messages in this report are that the business plan needs to consider ways of generating income, and we should have a solid business plan. So I don't disagree with the fact that we're going to approve it in principle tonight, but I do think it should come back to maybe the Finance Committee or some other special session of this council so that we can actually go through the business plan ourselves and be fully satisfied that it's going to work. Because I've read through the document tonight, and obviously that's what we've been presented in front of us, but I would like more time to consider the business plan in full, and maybe if Lisa is able to arrange a special session to do this, because I think it's a considerable interest to people, and I'm very much, you know, as I said, I don't disagree with it in principle, but I'd like to know more about it before we actually make any further commitments. Thank you very much, Chair.
Lisa.
So what we've suggested is precisely that the council gives agreement in principle that we can move to the next stage. And the next stage is the exploratory stage. It's seeking the legal advice around the heads of terms and the terms on which the building would be transferred to us under a formal lease, and simultaneously doing work on a business case for which, of course, the council would be consulted. But Chetner and I don't profess to be experts in putting together a business case about how you convert toilets and then make them profitable in some way. and we haven't got much capacity at the moment, but that is absolutely the intention, that, you know, we're just looking for a steer tonight, that you think this is a project that's worthy of support, having voiced broad support for it in September last year, so that we can move to the next stage, which is to get our solicitors involved in looking at draft heads of terms and simultaneously appoint somebody that can help us work up a business plan for council to review and approve.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I just want us to understand what we're doing, because obviously we are going through high interest rates. The country is not at ease with itself financially, and obviously we don't want the council to take something on that, you know, will not be a success. What we want to do is make this project a success. So I'm willing to absolutely approve it in principle, in the hope that we will, Lisa, get it done. And I understand what you and Chen haven't got necessarily the capacity, but the key question is how do we drive it forward so we're left with a successful project, because we don't want, like, the Jurassic Centre, where the Jurassic Centre had a massive problem, as you're aware, and that's because the council didn't get it right with the various bodies. So I'm not saying we're going to have that problem, but I'm saying that we know what happens if we don't look at things in the proper manner.
Thank you. Councillor Pauline Stott.
Thank you. I'm a bit wary, because I think we might be setting a precedent, because they've been trying to pass us the toilets for a long, long time. And I'm just a bit worried that if we go ahead with doing this, then they will automatically think that we'll have some more toilets. And it's the cost of actually refurbishing those toilets and making them into a cafe. Whether that would be viable, I mean, that will be seen when we have a business plan done. But I was a bit worried about, are we going to set a precedent? Are they going to put more and more toilets onto us? Because they're very crafty. As soon as we give them a bit, they'll take a lot. And you know, it's, I mean, it is a good idea, but but we're not taking on the showers. That part is the private bit, is it? Because there's showers there, yeah, so that bit's still going on. Yeah.
Can I just say that I think, you know, you have to look at each toilet block separately.
Yeah.
And their toilets have been categorised into A, B and C.
Yeah.
The only ones that we're being asked to make a decision on effectively the category C toilets and the category B toilet, where you've already expressed broad support for the Transition Exmouth project. I mean, you know, that was minuted from the September meeting last year.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily have to be a cafe. And in fact, I think, you know, part of the broad support for the project from last September was more around, you know, what's in the neighbourhood plan and support for a community facility. It's just it would be a community facility that has a particular emphasis on, you know, eco matters and the work that Transition Exmouth are doing. But at the crux of it, in order for us to take that block over, we have to guarantee that we are going to provide public toilets at that site. That is a criteria of us taking it over as an asset from the District Council. It's on condition that we continue to provide public toilets there. So, you know, we mustn't lose sight of that, because it's not about
Nico Hub.
You know, just converting it for the sake of converting it. It's so that we can maintain a public toilet facility and provide something else on top.
Yeah. All right then. Yeah, I presume the money will come out of Sill, will it, for it?
Potentially, but again, that would be around the business plan. I know that Transition Exmouth have identified a number of funding sources, including, you know, lottery funding, etc. There's a lot of funding around at the moment for projects of this nature. And Tim can probably corroborate that members of the Umbrella Group are in touch with organisations across the country who've done similar things and have managed to secure funding for it. So that would be part of the business plan, would be for us to identify potential funding sources. But failing that, yes, you know, it's in our neighbourhood plan.
I know.
We said that we would use the neighbourhood plan to inform our SIL spending priorities, to my mind, it would fit in that respect because it is in the neighbourhood plan. But hopefully, we could raise funds elsewhere.
Yeah, that's all right. As long, and we keep it, we'd be responsible for keeping it going we're not a transition town?
So the asset transfer would be to the town council.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Transition Exmouth, because it's a voluntary organisation, I don't think they have the appetite to run it per se. Yeah. But I think we would look for their input and work in collaboration with them on a vision of what that eco hub could look like. And then again, if you know, if there's a requirement for staff, that would need to be factored into a business plan, or if it's going to be run on a voluntary basis, or you know, how are we going to offset some of those charges, perhaps running costs? That all needs to be factored into a business plan, really. Yeah. But as I say, what we're looking for tonight is agreement in principle that we can move to the next stage of doing the exploratory work around that potential asset transfer to the town council.
Thank you. Councillor Brian Toy, please.
Yes, I think my remarks will probably apply to all of the other things. I'm a bit of a sprog, you know, I've only lived in this town 45 years. But you know, when we moved here, the population was half the size and we had twice as many toilets. This was thanks to the Victorians and the old Urban District Council. So we're reducing toilets when the population is expanding. It's still expanding quite rapidly. I'm sure the pressure on toilets must be greater than it ever was before. We've got so many outlets now selling alcohol, and that has to come out of you somewhere. Do you know, being viable is completely irrelevant. There is no toilet in this land that's viable. It is a burden on whoever takes it over. This is something we would have to face. Do you know, there was a scheme, when I was on the East Devon District Council, there was a scheme to ask every business on the seafront to open their toilets available to the general public, for which they were going to pay them a couple of hundred quid to cover the cleaning costs. Do you know, not one business was the slightest bit interested in it. So trying to get sort of businesses to sponsor them is a bit irrelevant. I think we could look at the possibility, if we take it over, of raising some money to defray the expenses. We could look at possible selling advertising or even an entry, you know, turnstile type of approach. That would raise a small amount. It wouldn't raise anything like what we need, but that at least would cover, let's go towards the cost. Otherwise, you know, we lose toilets. We're not a very attractive place for visitors to visit, are we? So what happens when you get taken ashore at night? There's shop doorways and there's the beach, all that. You know, we want to avoid that at all costs. So I would propose that all these toilets be considered to be taken over by the town council generally. I think we need this for the future generation to come.
Thank you. Councillor Mary Chapman, please.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, well, here we go again. Why is it that we have to review and agree head of terms for a long-term lease? Why, they don't give us the damn things. We're supposed to sort of sort it out, get them working. They don't want the expense. Other towns, villages, they give them to them. They gave Seaton a town hall. They gave Sidmouth all their parkland. And what do they give us?
Nothing.
So I personally think we should say to them, you know, stop messing around. You don't want to do the toilets. We're happy to take these on. Gorfin Hall, we run that. But, I mean, if we take it on and start doing something, everything we want to do, we'll have to go back to the landlord.
No, so can I just clarify that... So this is a Category B toilet, which was identified as part of the East Devon District Council public toilet review. And Category B toilets were always considered to have scope for alternative uses with a public toilet provided. We've expressed an interest on the back of the debate that Transition Exmouth prompted in September last year, specifically for the Imperial Recreation toilets. And the proposal is that it would be transferred at no cost to us. But we have expressed an interest in taking that on, providing a public toilet, continuing to provide a public toilet, but then expanding the use of that building to meet the aspirations of, you know, the eco hub that came through full council. But it would be transferred at no cost to us. And so the district council would cover their own legal costs. We would have to cover our legal costs, which I think you'll find is the same with any asset transfer from district to town or parish
council.
But
why does it say long-term lease? Why are they leasing it? Why don't they just give it
to
us?
Because in the public toilet review that East Devon District Council commissioned, the Category B toilets were never going to be transferred as a freehold. The public toilet review...
Why not?
I don't know. I wasn't part of the District Council public toilet review, but the Category B toilets are not up for a freehold transfer. Category C toilets are, but not the Category B.
So, in line
with the District Council public toilet review, that's what's on offer. It's a 99-year lease for the Town Council to take on the Category B toilet.
I still think it stinks. Why they can't give us a ruddy toilet?
But that's an issue.
It's beyond me.
I understand, but that's the outcome of the public toilet review.
The parkland they gave Sidmouth is worth millions.
But
and they can't even give us the toilet. Can we ask?
I think we should go back with this.
Yeah, I think we should. And say, what the hell are you doing? We're willing to take it on, work with the community, and put money in it, and supply the toilet. What is their problem?
So what would the advantages be of taking it on leasehold versus freehold? In essence,
because in a few years' time, they might say, well, sorry, chaps, we want to do this here. And it might be what we want.
Well, this is why we're suggesting that we need to get solicitors involved. But the heads of terms effectively give a 99-year lease to the town council.
What happens to that lease agreement if district councils are disbanded?
Well, that's a question we can't answer. Can
we get everything back then, or what? You know, what happens?
That would be something that our solicitors.
Yeah, well, I don't understand why you're saying it's fine. I'm saying, well, if it doesn't matter, they can just give it to us.
No, I'm not saying it's fine. What I'm saying is that was the outcome of the public toilet review, that Category B toilets are being offered on a leasehold basis. That's what's on offer.
Well, let's say, you know, can we have them, please?
Thank you, Maddie.
We'll do it.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. We've got some other speakers. Councillor Frank Cullis, please. Is he gone?
Last recess, so I'll just talk loudly. I agree with my one. This is the council.
So the quotation that we've had from the solicitor, based on what we expect to have to happen, there are deeds of easement and different things that need to be executed, which we know from the conversations we've had. The estimate that we've had from the solicitor is that our legal costs will be in the region of £10,000, and that is a realistic estimate of cost, which is why we've put it in the report. I don't think we're going to be able to get the work done any cheaper than that, based on what it's cost us, you know, for the Fir Park negotiations, for example, or the beach wheelchair hut negotiations. You're looking in the region of £5,000 to £10,000. You'll be looking at the top end of that for this particular negotiation because of the various deeds and things that are in it, the way the asset transfer is proposed to happen.
In my mind, the councils, East Devon and Exmouth, should be working together to make this more efficient than it is, because that's an excessive amount of money. I'm in the middle of selling and buying my house. I would be paying a solicitor 10 grand just to talk about a lease. I think that's the problem that needs to be got on top of, because these legal negotiations just to be excessive in they seem to get dragged out for too long, and they seem to be costing far too much. They seem to be incredibly inefficient.
It's not £10,000 to talk about it. It's £10,000 to bring it to fruition, including the registration with the land registry of the executed leases and deeds. £10,000 is the total cost if we bring the project to fruition. If it's just to look at heads of terms, it's only a fraction of the cost. But what we've factored in is what we think the legal cost will be to bring the project to fruition, to execute a lease.
Okay, well, I'm happy to take your word for this, but to me personally, that seems really excessive. And I think the council should be working together to reduce those costs and to make the transfers, the leases, whatever, so much more efficient than they seem to be. Because, like you mentioned, we've had the same problem.
Unfortunately, I think that is a reality of life, you know. And as a council, our advice would be that, you know, we do need to seek legal advice on some of these matters, because otherwise we expose the council to risks.
Exmouth are going to stitch us up over something, and Exmouth are thinking East Devon are going to stitch us up over something. Have we worked a bit more closely together and stopped being so suspicious of each other stitching us up over something, these costs could be brought down significantly.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I've got a couple more speakers, and then we need to decide what we're going to do on this one then. Councillor Ollie Davey, please.
Thank you, Chair. I mean, like Frank, the cost does seem excessive, but that's what happens as soon as the legal people get involved. I mean, at least it is a 99-year lease, so none of us is going to be around for the renegotiation. So let's just get on and do it. It's a peppercorn rent, so it's, in all intents and purposes, it is an asset transfer. We're not being forced to take this on. So we can't be made to take on any more toilets, as was suggested. In any case, we're not taking on a toilet here. We've got a fantastic proposal which came in before we even considered taking this on from Transition Exmouth. And I perhaps should declare an interest that I am actually just a member of Transition. We're not just taking on a toilet, it's a fantastic positive use of a building which otherwise could just become an ice cream shop or something like that with possibly no toilet. So we keep that accessible toilet. The illustration in our papers, it's just that. It's an illustration, it's just what could be done with it, the exciting ideas they've got, but it could be developed further, and the business plan would ensure that it is something that doesn't end up costing us money, that ends up covering its own face, I think somebody suggested, and I think we should just get on and do it.
Thank you. Councillor Brian Bailey, please.
Thank you, Chair. Having listened to this debate, I feel that the SIL money will cover the basic expense of the conversion. But the trouble is, it's not going to cover the running costs. That's not what it's for. It's for new projects only, if I'm correct. So how are they going to sustain it for the 99 years, or however long they wish to do it? We haven't got anything specific there, have we, as far as I'm aware?
So can I just say that the idea of the business plan is that it would look at potential revenue sources. Now, it may be that, you know, we look at it on the lines of Gorfin Hall, where, you know, we know we've got a track record of being able to generate some income from hiring a space for community use. You know, it may be that the cafe idea washes its face. This would all be detail that would be teased out in the business plan, with the aim of identifying what the running costs would be for the building. That's the aim of the business plan, is to differentiate between the capital costs of fitting it out and what the ongoing revenue costs would be. Now, of course, as with Gwalfyn Hall, there's an option for the Town Council to budget for the revenue costs to be covered out of our precept. That's always an option. But, you know, the idea of the business plan is to look at some sort of, you know, sustainable income sources that enable it to wash its face. That's the intention.
Thank you, Lisa. My other part of my question is, Chair, is that if we do take on the building, I would much prefer to have the freehold of the building, for the main reason that if we have the freehold of the building, that is ours, and they cannot, as Maddie suggested, take it back. Because we're going to have to put a substantial amount of capital into this building to make it fit for the purpose that it's going to be for. So if we do that, and if in 6 months or 6 years' time, East Devon decide whatever, they no longer exist because of reorganisation, what happens then? We don't know. So I think there's a lot more things to establish before we take on such a commitment. I'm very much in favour of doing it, don't get me wrong, but we have to make sure we're not going to get caught or tripped over after spending, say, for example, 30 grand making it fit for purpose, and then along come East Devon and say, well, we're going to do something else with it. Now, that's 30 grand wasted. You know,
that's the idea of running it past the solicitors, because the solicitors will be able to look at our interests and make sure that they're protected and that there's enough protection in the agreement.
Yes, I understand what you're saying, Lisa, but if we were to have the actual freehold of the building, that wouldn't be a problem, if you get my point.
Sometimes there's not much difference between freehold and leasehold, though.
Well, you've got an asset.
As Ollie said, in terms of, you know, it being transferred to us for a 99-year period, and it may be that at the end of that 99-year period, there's a clause in there that says that asset automatically transfers to the Town Council. That's quite often the case, that there's an automatic transfer.
And it may be that East Devon change their mind in 6 years' time, take it back, and we've lost all that investment.
I think you'll find that there are enough protections in the proposed heads of terms. You know, the district council they want to transfer those toilets, and they want to support the use of those toilets for community use, but it would be down to our solicitors to interrogate the heads of terms and the draft lease to ensure that risk is mitigated for the Town Council.
As Maddie suggests, though, if they were to give it to us, like they're so generous, if you're that side of the River Otter, generosity personified, this side of the River Otter, we don't get anything at all. So why can't they give it to us? I say, why don't we take that approach? Yes, we'll take it.
That's what's not on offer at the moment.
Then you wouldn't need to spend all that money on legal fees, would you? That's what I'm trying to save money.
You need to spend the money on legal fees even if it was a freehold transfer. In fact, the freehold transfer might even be more. We're still going to have to employ solicitors to oversee a freehold transfer, Brian.
Right, fair enough.
Because the deeds would still be like buying a house. You know, the deeds still need to have to be transferred into the Town Council's name, and there's a degree of conveyancing that has to be done in that process. So there would still be legal costs. I mean, the principle of leasehold versus freehold, as I said, was, you know, that was part of the public toilet review. I can't comment on that. We could ask the question as part of the negotiation with the District Council over the draft heads of terms. We could ask them if a freehold transfer is an option.
I think that would be a good idea, if you don't mind saying.
You know, there's no harm in asking, is there?
No. Thank you. Okay. By the way, Chair, I wasn't disrespecting you. I was disagreeing with you. Two totally different things.
My sincere apologies, Councillor Bailey. That's all right. Councillor Tim Dumper, and then Councillor Fred Cahill, and then I'd like to make a proposal. Thank you.
Yeah, so have I. Yeah.
It's only an electric fan in my office.
Councillor Dumper.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I just wanted to say, really, I declared an interest at the beginning of this this meeting about that I was on Transition Umbrella Group. So I don't want to say too much in favour of or whatever, but I do think that the current proposal is a good idea, and I think it forms the basis of more ideas. So I don't really think that we need to discuss that any longer. I would like just to say that it would be useful to retain toilet spaces, and I know that
there is one idea where perhaps we reduce the numbers of drastically the numbers in that particular toilet. And I think that if it went down too much, then I think there would be, if not an outcry, there would be very long queues when events take place in Imperial Rec, etc., the festival or whatever. So that's one issue about that. An issue about the railway station, bus station toilets. I think the report is written very flexibly in regard to that, and I like the recommendations of that, because we have at least two other proposals that the district council are taking forward or considering at the moment. So in fact, they have their public toilet review. They also have consideration of camper van and motorhome provision of showers, etc., etc. They also have the levelling up bid, which they are co-sponsoring with county, which of course might well involve toilet provision and improvement thereof in the region of the transport interchange. I think,
Councillor Dumper, can we just stick
to? I'm going to bring it to an end now, which is to say that I think the report is very balanced, and I would like to propose it, please.
Thank you. Is there a seconder for bringing Councillor? Oh, Councillor Sadiq.
Is this just in respect of the first recommendation?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you want to speak?
No.
Councillor Cahill, you'll put your hand.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'd just like to say that I fully support the idea of moving this forward as toilets and an eco hub and a cafe, general community use. I support that. I do feel that there is scope for getting the detail correct in terms of how it's moved forward. So would it be okay to amend the proposal to say that we would set up a TAF or a working party from this council to work with the officers of the town council on this project?
So it is already covered by the Climate and Ecological Emergency Working Party.
But
it could be set up as a subcommittee of the Climate and Ecological Emergency Working Party, certainly.
Yeah, yeah. If we could put that in as an amendment, I feel that would be quite a good idea.
Yeah, that's fine.
Would you be happy to accept that amendment, Councillor Dumper and Councillor Sadiq?
Yeah.
I need a seconder for the amendment then, please. Councillor Bruce Sarm. So, with the amendment, all those in favour, please, of recommendation one, could you show by raising your hand?
Any against?
Any abstentions?
Just one abstention, okay, so that's carried.
That is carried, thank you. So we move on to the second recommendation, which is shorter, to review options and agree actions in relation to Category C public conveniences at Jarvis Close in Exmouth, and if no options are available, to confirm in writing that the Town Council is not interested in acquiring these. Open for debate, please. Councillor Bruce Desarum.
Thank you very much, Chair. I note that although the motion suggests that the Town Council may not be interested in Jarvis Close, many of us are Littleham members, and I think we have a duty to our ward constituents to make sure that the Council could be considered the alternative option, which is to offer to cover the district's cleaning and maintenance costs in the same way. May I propose that we do this for a 12-month period so we get the idea of what the costs are? I think we must be fair to our residents, and I know Brian is a fellow Littleham man here yourself, aren't you, as is Alan, and I think everyone in Littleham would be particularly affected by this, and I'd like to make that proposal that we carry out the recommendation in this report, but for 12 months, so we're not committing ourselves indefinitely, if that meets with members' approval.
Can I just clarify that they are currently closed and have been...
When they open, Lisa, maybe?
I don't think they will reopen. I think At the moment, the proposal is that they remain closed unless the council agrees to take on the cost of them from the 1st of April next year. We have inquired about whether there's been any public feedback. It's not a public toilet block that has had a great deal of use, and there haven't been any complaints about it remaining closed at the moment. And the report does detail the costs that would be potentially involved in us agreeing to take on the running costs for that block.
Could it open just for the year then, Lisa? I know you said April, but maybe just do it for one off for a year. And then obviously if it didn't work out, then clearly the council will be in the position to say no, because I appreciate that it's not been opened, but we are depriving people of something they may use. And I know they may not have made a fuss about it, but when it's no longer going to be there, they may well make quite a fuss. And obviously, as ward members, it is our duty to present represent our interests as best we can.
No, they've been closed since the beginning of COVID, and they have not reopened. And you know, I think there's quite a lot of work that needs doing in them. I think they're closed on public health grounds. They're not open at the moment. I am aware.
The cost of vandalism that we have.
So the report contains the latest costs for the operation of Jarvis Close. That's in the public toilet review backup information. Well, the breakdown is quite comprehensive in terms of labour costs, water costs, cleaning costs, etc. There's a fairly comprehensive spreadsheet that links to cost centre codes. So I have no reason to doubt the cost that they've given, £20,000 a year roughly. I think the issue for this council is, you know, they are closed currently. They will remain closed unless this council decides to take them on. Is it premature to say that you want them to reopen without understanding what the public demand for those toilets is? That's the question I would pose. Do you know what the public demand is? Because if there isn't any public demand and you agree to take them on, you will have to budget revenue costs of £20,000 next year. To run them for a year for 12 months.
I think it was about 8 years ago, Chairman.
It's 2014.
Yeah, hang on. Thank you, Maddie. Councillor Kagan.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, Jarvis Close. Can I just ask Lisa, reference the bullet point of Category C before I make my comments. Suggested sites to be offered to town and parish councils or closed. Now, that's a little bit bland, and I know there's more detail in the following paragraphs, but I just want to get some understanding that EDDC, in the word of here, are saying that they could offer it as a freehold transfer to the town or parish council to operate on a peppercorn basis, providing that we still have a toilet there. Well, the toilets are very underused. The small car park is used by sometimes abandoned cars or fixing cars and goodness knows what else. If the district council feel that there is no further justification for a toilet, can they not offer it to us as a freehold and just transfer it? It's a freehold transfer to us. And then perhaps we could remodel it, change of use, maybe put some accessible houses in for social housing, make some money as landlords. That might help pay for the eco hub down on Imperial Recreation Ground.
So, in theory, Category C toilets, as part of the public toilet review, the option is that they will be offered to the town and parish council on a freehold basis, but on the understanding again that, you know, we would provide a public toilet facility. There would be scope to remodel it as part of that asset transfer, but we would still need to provide a toilet under the current proposals.
But what I would
say, the car park is not included as part of that asset transfer. It's only the toilet block.
Oh, right. Yeah. I thought the car park came with the toilet because people go in there and park.
No, the toilet block is separate to the car park.
Right, so it's just the toilet building.
And there would be a presumption then that you're going to get change of use planning permission, etc., etc. I'd have to say, in terms of risk, I think the risk of taking on something like that is far greater than the risk of committing to the project at the Imperial Recreation Ground.
I get that. It was just the way I read that paragraph. Now you've explained it, it's just the toilet. I thought it was the car park as well. Had it been the car park as well, I think it would have been an acceptable risk.
So Maddie's right that back in 2014 we were offered the toilet and the car park as a council, just as I started with the council, and the council decided not to pursue that at that time.
Can we go back to the table after a bit?
Well, it's not on the table now. What's on the table now as part of the public toilet review is a freehold transfer of the toilet block at Jarvis Close as a Category C toilet if members wanted to pursue that. But as I say, I would ask the question of members, is it used? I don't know. If it's been closed for 2 years and it's not used, is it used?
I believe it's used.
Councillor Brian Bailey, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. The answer to your question, Lisa, is no, it's not being used. If people can survive without it for this long period of time, I fail to see the necessity to reopen it. Sorry to disagree with you, Bruce, but that's the way I feel. Also, we're going to have to do, if we were to adopt Bruce's proposal, we'd have to go through, to quote you, Lisa, a £10,000 minimum legal fees yet again. For a year, it's just not viable. So I suggest that we say, no, thank you, East Devon, we do not wish to have this toilet. Thank you very much. Do whatever you like with it. Cheerio. We'll see you next week.
So one of the options for Category C toilets, which was the toilets at the train station and at Jarvis Close, was not to acquire them as freehold, but to potentially offer to pay for the running costs to the district council. So the freehold remains in the district council's name, but the town council agrees to cover the running costs. Now, in fairness, I think when the report was put together, that option was considered to be more sensible for the station toilets, because they're also categorised as Category C toilets. And we felt that members might be more inclined to support the toilets at the train station if it meant that they could stay open, and offering to support them financially rather than acquiring the freehold, where the maintenance and the cleaning becomes our responsibility, was one option that we wanted members to consider. Because if you were willing to cover the costs, then East Devon District Council would carry on maintaining and cleaning them, but we would cover the costs of them. And that was one of the options that we thought could be considered for the station toilets. We contributed £17,000 to keep the train station toilets open.
Councillor Brian Toy.
Yes, I would say keep it for as long as you can. Once it's lost, it's gone forever. And when you come to consider in that area, you've got loads of retirement apartments, too many in my opinion, lots of elderly people with weak bladders. A local toilet is quite handy.
Okay. Anybody else wish to speak on?
Chair, I wish to make a proposal, if I may.
Councillor Brian Bailey.
I wish to make a proposal, if I may, Chair, that we say a definite no, thank you very much, to East Devon District Council for Jarvis Road toilets.
Is that what the essence of item two is?
Yes.
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 Yeah.
Yes.
Have I got a seconder for that, please?
Frank Cagle.
Councillor Frank Cagle. Thank you. So we'll
put... Seeing as we can't turn it to houses.
So we'll put that proposal to the vote then. If you're in favour, could you please raise your hand?
Bruce, what, you have your hand?
Okay. Yeah. So we got one against. Have we got any abstentions?
Yeah. Just wanted to ask a question.
Oh, well, we've done the vote now, Chair. Tim, sorry. Okay, so that was carried then.
Okay.
So I'm just putting on. Okay, what's on that? We move then to the final recommendation. To write to East Devon District Council requesting an update on the plans for Category C public conveniences by the train station in the context of the ongoing car parking review and the levelling up in brackets round two in brackets Dinnerway stroke gateway proposals. That's open for debate now. Who would like to start the debate? Councillor Maddie Chapman.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I don't see how we can, actually, because we don't know about the levelling up bid. We don't know camper van, etc., car parking, showers, things like that. So, no, we can't do anything about it because we don't know what's happening down there.
So the proposal is to write to East Devon District Council to seek clarity on what's happening with them. That is the proposal because we don't know. No, but I think there are other factors as well. I think, you know, as part of the car parking TAF, there's debate about, you know, the ongoing camper van policy and.
The use of the lorry park, etc.
So yeah. what the essence of the recommendation is that we don't think as a council that you have enough information relating to what's going to happen at the train station toilets, and that we need to seek clarification from the district council.
And so how much the railway are putting so into it would be nice.
You can then make a decision on that basis. That was the recommendation. Yeah. That we write to ask for clarity on what's happening.
Yeah, because it's all up in the air, and I don't understand why South Western Rail weren't asked to put their hands in their pocket.
They have been asked several times.
Yeah, I'll second
Councillor Pauline Stott.
See, Maddie, she was going to second. She's second Lisa's proposal. You can't do it. All right then. Maddie will propose it, and I'll second
okay.
it.
Councillor Pauline Stott is recommending the proposal that's on the order paper. Councillor Fred Cagle.
I proposed it, and Fred and Pauline both seconded it.
Okay, sorry. I thought you were speaking against it. Sorry. Okay. Any others? Members that wish to speak. Councillor Brian Toy.
Yes, I think it's essential that we look at it. I mean, there are proposals. I think the County Council are thinking of doing some improvements in front of the station, so that might increase the footfall even more. So I think it's very important.
Okay. Councillor Dumper.
Well, just in answer to Maddie there, we aren't going to know what's going to happen until we get an answer on the levelling up bid. The levelling up bid, we were told, I was looking at this actually today, we were told there was going to be some sort of answer in August 2022. But we know what's going on in your party at the moment. We know there's a horrendous turmoil at government level, and we're not going to get any answers. For all we know, the new prime minister will regard it as wrong to have a levelling up bid at all. So, I am sticking. I did, if you remember, when you interrupted me and said that I was addressing the wrong thing before. I did actually propose acceptance of this whole bit of the agenda about category C toilets, which I said was balanced and I thought should be recommended. So that's what I think. But I do think that we are waiting for an answer on the money and what's going on until we know what's going on at government level.
Can I add that when Chetna spoke to Tom Wood last week, she sought to gain some understanding on what was happening. And Tom has indicated, you know, that there are a number of factors that are moving and changing in the background. I mean, you know, you've got the outcome of the car parking TAF, you've got the outcome of the campervan TAF. There's been debate around, as part of the car parking TAF, around the need for a lorry park. You know, there's the levelling up fund. There are lots of different aspects that are potentially going to influence what happens. So I think, you know, not all the answers are necessarily known at the district council at this time, but I think that puts us in a very difficult position in terms of agreeing how the town council might support the toilets in that location. And so the recommendation was aimed at trying to seek some clarity so that you can then make the right decision when further information is available.
Okay, thank you. So I can't see. And
Aurora's got to have that.
Sorry. Councillor Aurora Bailey, apologies.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, on one of my workshop meetings, an East Devon officer spoke to me about the levelling up fund. And what happened, apparently, just going back to it, originally everything had to be in on the 6th of July, but it changed and everything had to be in by the 2nd of August 2022. And obviously people got all their papers and everything together. He told me that the result of the levelling up will be this year, by the end of the year. That's all he could tell me. But he did actually speak to me about the levelling up. It got changed along the way, didn't it?
Yeah, thank you for that.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
Councillor Andrew Coleman, did I see you?
Andrew Toy.
Sorry?
Andrew Toy.
Oh, Andrew Toy, apologies.
Do we need to have a fallback position? If the levelling up fund is unsuccessful, then do we need to make a decision that we would take on those toilets? So are the district council pressing us for a final decision?
So the district council has said at the moment that the category C toilets at Jarvis Close and at the train station, they will cease to fund them on March 31st, 2023. So we've got a little bit of time in hand to seek some clarity. You've made a decision on the Jarvis Close toilets tonight. But we've got a little bit of time in hand to seek some clarity on what's happening at the station toilets, and then it would need to come back to the council. It will need to come back for a decision on whether you want to take them on, whether you want to try and come to an agreement with the district council that you support them financially at arm's length. That will need to come back to council once we've got further information from the district on what's happening and what the current thinking is around that site.
Thank you, Lisa. So we've got a proposer and a seconder that we agree item 3 on the agenda regarding the toilets. So all those in favour, could you please show by raising your hand? Yeah. Any against, please? Any abstentions? No, that's carried unanimously. Thank you, members. I think that was a very important debate on toilets. I now declare this part of the meeting closed when we ask the press and public to vacate the room, please. And then we'll go into part B.